If you're worried about getting old, stop worrying about it. Simple as that. If you're worried about getting old, stop worrying about it. You're not going to get old. I'm going to tell you what year we're in. Maybe not today. I'm going to tell you what year we're in. F.A. This is the important thing. Not A.D., not B.C., not any other acronym. Hi, everyone. It's the Lord of the Laundry Room. It's Martin Zender bringing you wisdom, bringing you the times at the end of the eon here from a laundry room in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. How great is that? I'm publicizing this. This is not being publicized. It's not being well known. That's why I consider myself a herald. I bring you information, vital information, important information. I finished yesterday talking about fighting. This is an important message for all of you because I know that the body of Christ is getting kicked around right now. We are suffering a time unparalleled in human history, and that is until the last 3.5 years of the last 7-year period of the last year of Millennium 6. That's going to be bad. We're not going to be here for that. But in the meantime, we're living in the times Paul prophesied of. Perilous periods will be present, and there's a reason you're having a bad day. Everybody's ass is getting kicked out there. I'm talking to many members of the body of Christ. And I don't want you to think it unusual that some strange thing is happening to you or that God has lost control of it and God's no longer paying attention to where you are, what you're doing, what you're going through. He is. It's about the contrast. I thought this for a while now that that God is going to increase the contrast of the deliverance. And so we will all be pushed against the wall before this thing closes up. But we're here for each other. And I thought, you know what? If I know how many years are left, why wouldn't I just retire, take a break, take a little vacation, sit under a palm tree somewhere, sipping a pina colada, and just take it easy. There is no way. I mean, I'm looking at even the circumcision gospel. That's not our gospel, but Jesus spoke of being actively doing this, your Father's work when he comes. And so I'm going to be found doing my Father's work when he comes. I am going to be, I talked to you about the through mentality, about not just racing toward a goal, but racing through a goal, that you're thinking in the long term. So even if I knew, listen to this, if God whispered to me, Martin, yes, Lord, I'm going to tell you the day of the snatching away. Really, Lord, me? Yes. Why me, Lord? Is it because I'm your most faithful servant? No, it's because you're the most unwise, weak, ignoble, stupid member of the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. May 6th, 2019. Oh, May 6th, 2019. This is completely hypothetical, by the way. Stay with me here, okay? If I knew that the snatching away was going to be on May 6th, 2019, at 4:15 a.m., at 4:15 a.m., I would be planning a book. I would be writing a newsletter for the following week. I mean, mind you, I know this is the date. I have assurance from Jesus Christ himself, who comes into the laundry room, which is not too hard to believe could happen. He comes into the laundry room. He gives me the date and the time of the snatching away. But I have a newsletter due, let's say, the following weekend. Or I'm in the middle of a series on Ephesians. I would continue that. I would run through the finish line. I would not sit there with my hands across my chest or my arms across my chest or my hands folded, sit there and be laying in a hammock waiting for that day. No, we must all be doing, even if we knew the exact day and the exact time. You go through it, you have a purpose, you have a goal. You pretend like there's 10 years left, even though there's not. You know there's not. Doesn't matter. You live like there is. Live like there is. I am trying to prevent any of you, as I give you this very, very exciting news in the next few days or few weeks, however long this series within the series takes, I'm giving you extremely exciting news. You're going to like it. It's good news, but I'm preventing you from, you know, putting on robes and going up on a mountain and waiting for it. That's not what we're to be doing. I told you, what you are to be doing is to be writing charlesruch@gmail.com and ordering The First Idiot in Heaven and getting the information out, getting the Gospel of Paul out. I'm going to continue this series. When the Roman series, when the Revelation series is over, this is my plan. The next day, I'm going to do a whole new thing, a whole new theme song, a whole new display, a whole new staging, a whole new production on Paul's letters. I'm just going to keep it going. And so back to this fight. The only reason you hear a fight in me right now is because I've come through a crisis in the last couple weeks. It's a crisis of enthusiasm. You know, when Paul said in 2 Timothy that all have forsaken me, he didn't mean that everybody stopped believing in the message of the uncircumcision. What he meant was that people just went away and they found more interesting things to do than to tend to the words of a man who was in jail at the tail end of his life. The world has so many enticements, so many things that will pull us away, whether business interests or financial interests or relationship interests or ties with your family. All these things must be attended to. But as I've been telling you for 2.5 years now, they must be held loosely. You don't stranglehold any of these things. You have your hands and fingers relaxed, and whatever you have, you hold it like a pile of whipped cream, you see. It's just very delicately, very delicately. No strangleholds on your loved ones. Cut them some slack. No strangleholds on your finances, either good or bad. This goes both ways. If you find out you're about to make $1 billion, that's great. I celebrate with you. It's great. But then you hold it loosely. And conversely, if your crap load's in debt, you're not going to get too upset over that. You're going to painstakingly, patiently pay a little bit towards your debt every month. You're not going to get into the abyss of worry. Likewise, if you're on the brink of a windfall, you're not going to become overjoyed or throw confetti. You're not going to throw sawdust in the previous example. You're not going to throw confetti in this example. You're going to be calm, and you're going to fight. You have to fight despair. I fight it. I fight despair. You have to fight giving up. I've been tempted to give up. You have to fight gloom and doom, which both have that ooh sound, doom and gloom, how appropriate. Because the flood, analogy coming, warning, analogy, the flood is about to begin. The storm clouds are long gathered. The world is living exactly like it was in the days of Noah, doing their own thing, lounging, relaxing on one hand, which is just as bad as working like lunatics and building kingdoms. That's just as bad as not doing anything. Let's do our work rationally and sanely. It shouldn't be hard. But it is. Sometimes we make it hard. That's all part of it. Don't blame yourself. You're a human being. Now, I would be remiss if I did not tell you before this show closes of the scientific prophecies of the end of the final years, of how humanity will end. This is from the people who brought you evolution. This is from the people who brought you the Big Bang. The following names I'm going to give you are names of infamy. These are names that should live in infamy. These are idiots who claim to be great, wise people. Nick Bostrom, is one of them. The Geological Society, a whole gaggle of people, a bunch of idiots. Stephen A. Nelson, don't know these people. I don't mean to insult them, but they're idiots. James Casting, Ann Menard, various. S. Frank C. Bunama and W. Von Bio, a David Powell. These are scientists or philosophers or intellectuals who claim to know when the world's going to end. Listen to this. Nick Bostrom says that it's going to, this is his estimated date, in 500,000 years. What's going to happen? Well, according to Nick, Earth will have likely been hit by an asteroid of roughly 1 kilometer in diameter. Roughly 1 kilometer. During this period, assuming it cannot be averted. Bostrom writes, quote, in order to cause the extinction of human life, the impacting body would probably have to be greater than 1 kilometer in diameter and probably 3 to 10 kilometers. That's his guess, 500,000 years. Oh, but that's not all. The Geological Society says that in 1 million years, these are people who can't predict the weather tomorrow, in 1 million years, Earth will likely have undergone a supervolcanic eruption large enough to erupt 3,200 kilometers to the third power, little superscript 3 there, of magma. 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 The stuff of volcanoes. An event comparable to the Toba super eruption 75,000 years ago. You've never heard of the Toba super eruption? Well, that was 75,000 years ago. This from the people who, again, can't predict the weather tomorrow. Stephen A. Nelson says, no, it's 100 million years, according to Stephen Nelson. Not 1 million, 100 million years, we shall all be extinct. Why? Why, you ask? Earth will have likely been hit by an asteroid about 10 to 15 kilometers in diameter. That's much bigger than Nick's asteroid. Comparable in size to the one that triggered the K-PG extinction, which killed dinosaurs 66 million years ago, assuming it cannot be averted. These people in their 66 million years ago, the dinosaurs are not that old, the Earth may be old, the dinosaurs aren't, they were contemporaries of Adam. This is hocus pocus, K-PG. Who comes up with these terms? The K-PD extinction. They claim this was an extinction which killed the dinosaurs 66 million years ago. Right. Or as Dr. Evil would say, right. That was James Casting. Says it's 500 million years from now. 500 million years, according to James Casting, the level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere will drop dramatically, making the Earth uninhabitable. But then there's Ann Menard, ladies and gentlemen, Ann Menard, whose expert opinion is that we shall survive for another 500 to 600 million years, estimated time, until a gamma ray burst or massive hyper-energetic supernova. Hyper-energetic. That means lots of energy, lots of energy, lots of energy occurs within 6,500 light years of Earth. Close enough for its rays to affect Earth's ozone layer and potentially trigger a mass extinction. That's the technical term, mass extinction, assuming the hypothesis is correct that a previous such explosion triggered the Ordovician-Silurian extinction event. Ordovician-Silurian extinction event. Wonder when that happened. I don't know. However, the supernova would have to be precisely oriented relative to Earth to have any negative effect. Ooh, I wonder if there's any room for play there or mistakes. Here's a group. It took a group of geniuses. This is a gaggle of brains. S. Frank C. Bornama and W. Von Bio. Say 1.3 billion years from now. That's when the end's going to be. 1.3 billion years from now. Whoa. The Earth and Moon will be most likely destroyed by falling into the sun. just before the sun reaches the tip of its red giant phase and its maximum radius of 256 times the present-day value, period, before the final collision, the moon possibly spirals below Earth's Roche limit. What the hell the Roche limit is? I don't know. There's a cross-reference here, I could tell you, but I'm not interested. Breaking into a ring of debris. That's the technical term, ring of debris, most of which falls into the Earth's surface. Very nice. Oh, this is various scientists. 22 billion years from now. We're good till then. We're good for 22 billion more years, according to various scientists, who Paul really conglomerately refers to as, in Romans chapter 1, confessing themselves to be wise, they are made stupid. The end of the universe in the Big Rip scenario. There's actually a cross-reference to the Big Rip. The Big Rip, that's the technical term, the scientific hypothesis. This assumes a model of dark energy. Of course, it would have to. With W equals minus 1.5 observations of gravity cluster speeds by the Chandra X-ray Observatory suggests that the true value of W is 0.991, meaning the Big Rip will not occur. Ooh, first the Big Rip is going to occur, then the Big Rip will not occur. And I wonder what relationship the Big Rip has with the Big Bang. Perhaps the Big Rip is the opposite of the Big Bang. The Big Rip undoes what the Big Bang created. The key figure there being 0.991. And of course, one must know of the Chandra. One must know of the data collected by the Chandra X-ray Observatory. And one must assume, of course, a model of dark energy with where W equals minus 1.5. Very important. Don't forget that. Ever. There's another school of thought. Here's a figure I've never seen before. We are good until 10 duotrigninatrillion. 10, I'm going to spell this. D-U-O-T-R-I-G-I-N-T-I-L-L-I-O-N. Duotrigninatrillion. 10 duotrigninatrillion. Not one duotrigninatrillion, no, but 10 of them. The heat death of the universe is a scientific theory in which the universe will diminish to a state of no thermodynamic free energy and therefore will no longer sustain motion or life. Folks, isn't it a pleasure to turn from... These are the people who brought you evolution. These are the people who brought you the Big Bang. These are the people who tell you that Adam, in the Hebrew, Adam, is a joke. These are the people who don't believe God. These are the people who hate God. These are the people who believe that the scriptures, the Hebrew and the Greek scriptures, are fairy tales written by deceived people and collected into a book for deceived people. These are the experts throwing these insane figures around 60 billion years, 66 trillion years, 10 godzillion years of years. And these are also the same people who can't accurately predict the weather tomorrow. I contend to you that God is true. I contend to you that the genealogies and the years, the account of creation, spoken of by God, by inspiration of the Spirit of God to men who were faithful to record it, first by word of mouth, then by written word, is true. It's true. God is true. And we would let God be true, though every human on earth, especially those that purport to practice true science, be a liar.